When I volunteered to preach here on Easter Sunday, I welcomed the challenge, but I soon found myself struggling a bit when I was preparing for this Sunday. Arranging the order of service is no problem, and I'm familiar enough with our hymnal such that selecting hymns is not a big deal. And there are numerous Unitarian Universalist sources for opening words, meditations, and benedictions, both in print and on the UUA website. Incidentally, you might notice an upgrade to the front cover of our order of service. Our congregational administrator, Dottie Hall, and I found the original artwork, and we believe it's an improvement over what you've been seeing there. How do we, as Unitarian Universalists, or UUs, as many of us prefer to label ourselves, give this day its proper due? What is Easter Sunday all about, really? It's somehow connected to Mardi Gras, Ash Wednesday, and Lent, and some events that are said to have occurred a couple of thousand years ago. The names Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John popped into my head yesterday, so I took the occasion to read through Matthew and renew my remembrance of the Christian origin of Easter, which I understand is called Resurrection Sunday by some Christians in order to differentiate it from the original Easter, which was probably an ancient pagan celebration of the spring equinox. There's going to be a little repetition here because it was brought up during the children's time. At first glance, there seems to be no rhyme or reason as to where Easter falls on the calendar of a given year. If you research it, as I did, you will find a formula that tells us that Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, unless the full moon is on the equinox, in which case it is after the following full moon. Quite a mouthful. This means that when you look for Easter on your calendar, you'll find it somewhere between March 22nd and April 25th. I believe it was time to make sure that travelers in the Holy Land had the light of the moon on their springtime pilgrimages. Recently, the timing of Lent became of some personal concern to me when the fishmonger at the Giant food store reminded me that Shadrach and Roshad would be available, roughly speaking, during Lent, which I soon found out starts on Ash Wednesday, in the seventh week prior, that is to say, 46 days before Easter. Shrove Tuesday, also known as Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday, is the day before that. And as our favorite online encyclopedia tells us, in most traditions, the day is known for the eating of pancakes before the start of Lent. Pancakes are made out of the main foods available: sugar, fat, flour, and eggs, the consumption of which was traditionally restricted during the ritual fasting associated with Lent. In some quarters, Shrove Tuesday is called Pancake Day. In the midst of the struggle I mentioned a bit earlier, I thought, hey, why not look at some Easter sermons at other UU congregations? It was a real revelation. I'm a lay speaker, and here are these ordained UU ministers struggling with the UU Easter sermon, at least occasionally, much the way I seem to be doing. One of the most telling quotes is from Reverend Tom Bellotti, who says that the idea that Unitarian Universalist churches just can't win on Easter. And that has to do with something more than trying to reconcile the diverse theological approaches and our theological diverse congregants bring to worship. He also referred to a tired old UU joke about Unitarian Universalists. If you drive through town on Easter Sunday, you can always tell the UU church from the other churches that will have signs that proclaim, "Hallelujah, Jesus is risen." The Unitarian Universalist sign will announce, "Hooray, flowers are pretty." That's a gross exaggeration, but there is a grain of truth there. I don't know too much about the something more Reverend Bellotti is talking about. It seems to me that the theologically diverse situation is more than enough to deal with. I don't want to even think about that something more. I'm somewhat self-conscious about my position on the theologically diverse spectrum as a militant non-believer. And it's easy for me to see myself as being almost too diverse with respect to almost everyone. Incidentally, there's a UU publication entitled Engaging Our Theological Diversity that addresses the facts and implications of this diversity in UUs. It's also available free in PDF form on the UUA website. In her Easter sermon, Evelyn Ruth Thompson says, "For even the most adamant non-believer in immortality, one can still be inspired by the resurrection myth by looking beneath its surface." The resurrection myth may be one of those something mores that Reverend Bellotti was referring to, which triggered my visit with the book of Matthew. In a UU sermon that Forest Church preached on Easter Sunday of 2006, he spent a good deal of his sermon pondering the spiritual, practical, and even political ramifications of the Terry Schiavo case. I don't know if you remember that. The husband wanted to allow his wife to die in peace, and the family wanted her to remain on life support indefinitely. Forrest had it right. Discussion of fairness and justice are appropriate on any occasion. What is it that raises our passion on any day, Easter Sunday or not? When we read our Sunday Washington Post, watch the CBS Evening News, scroll through the New York Times on our smartphones, or settle down with a New York Review of Books or whatever, there always seems to be something that will raise our blood pressure. In the announcement of this sermon, I promised, in addition to some thoughts about Easter, some thoughts about other subjects of significance to UUs. We should all know by this time that all issues, controversial or not, are up for discussion and debate among us as UUs. I'm sure that you're all aware that a young black man named Trayvon Martin was shot dead by George Zimmerman White, a member of a neighborhood watch program in a gated community in Sanford, Florida. The federal authorities are now involved. It appears that we will not know whether Zimmerman will be indicted on homicide charges until the grand jury releases its decision. Yesterday, folks rallied in the Million Hoodies March, both locally and in Florida, to protest for justice for Trayvon Martin, and I assume for unbiased justice for all. Unfortunately, there has been at least some distortion of the facts by the media in the rush to judgment. The charge of racial prejudice against Zimmerman was based on the assumption that Zimmerman used the word black when referring to Trayvon Martin. While Zimmerman did do that, it was apparently in response to the 9/11 operator asking, is he black or white? On the other hand, Zimmerman was not a uniformed police officer. He was carrying a gun, and he was following Trayvon when advised not to by the 9/11 operator. There are still open questions. Another issue that has come to our attention in our daily news is whether or not women should have the right to make certain private decisions about their bodies. It makes my blood boil when a group of men holding hearings on women's rights won't allow women to testify before their committee. And we are being treated to news of a barrage of legislation, federal, state, and probably local, impinging on the right of women to make their decisions themselves. Enough is enough. Gay marriage is on our radar also. A referendum that seeks to nullify the right of gays to marry in Maryland, no doubt will be on your ballot in November. Global warming is also an issue we cannot ignore. The risk that we take by ignoring the very high probability that the predictions of most scientists are true are much too great. Then there's the evolution issue. Too many folks in our country don't accept Darwin's theories and the fact of evolution of living things, nor do they celebrate Darwin's birthday, as many of us do every February 12th. The way I understand it, it's a matter of indoctrination. Not only do some folks indoctrinate their own children with creationism or intelligent design, so-called intelligent design, they want to have creation or intelligent design taught in our public schools. Well, so be it.